Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, welcome to Nobody Panic. What's cooking? Oh, Steve is so slick, so good. What's cooking is this episode on how to cook. Welcome, come on in, into the kitchen, pull up a high bar stool, get a drink and gather round the hob.
I'd like you to be imagining my kitchen as having an island, which is all I personally want. I very recently nearly moved flats. Purely, I'd say maybe 90% it was based on the fact that there was an island in the kitchen. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I think I will pay that amount of money for an island, and then had to stop myself because I couldn't.
That's the thing. An island is the ultimate. No man is an island, but
most women want one. But,
and there we go. And there we go. That's the thing. It's all anyone wants.
If I may. It's a real barrier to cooking because I've only started cooking since I've had a kitchen that isn't like infested and hideous. And I think that the island mentality is very crucial to cooking because in your head you're like, yeah, I'll cook when I look like a cooking YouTuber.
Exactly right. Exactly. When you're like, when I've got the stuff, then I'll do it. So I did a cooking course with the Avenue Cookery School. Very nice. Lovely people. But the thing about a cooking course is you are at a beautiful individual island and somebody brings you the exact right amount of ingredients in a little glass bowl. And they're all sort of there for you. Everything looks exquisite. And you're like, yes, yes, I can cook. And then you make, you know, profiteroles or whatever. But then you try and take those skills back to your totally crap kitchen where you don't have any of the things and no one's helping you. And you certainly don't have a sous chef who's like just popping things, doing the kitchen porter job, just, and just like, washing as you go.
How many glass bowls can you even fit in your kitchen?
So it becomes really tricky, you know, and we watch all the amazing cooking shows and they've all got all the bits there. And you're like, I don't have that many glass bowls and I don't have the wherewithal to measure. You are supposed to measure things out, you know, ahead of schedule. Anyway, so I understand that that is what holds us all back, is we have a very clear vision of like what cooking is supposed to look like. And then we have our own current kitchen state, you know?
And I think psychologically, you could become so disheartened with your current kitchen state and your current psychological cooking state.
Absolutely.
That you for about 4 years, I would look up a recipe and it would say ounces and I'd be like, don't know what that is. And then I'd just give up.
Exactly. So this is Welcome to How to Cook. And this one, I did a shout out on Instagram and I've been genuinely overwhelmed with people wanting to give in their top tips. And so just to say, I'm so sorry if I don't name you individually, just know that you were seen, heard, appreciated,
and ignored.
And crucially, ignored. No, hopefully they'll all feature. Lots of them are, lots of people said the same things. So if your thing comes up, be like, that's me. And it was you.
It was you, among others. So before we get into that though, what adult thing have you done this week, Tessa?
This is a naff answer, but mine is related to this episode, which is that we finally got around to doing the How to Cook episode because we wanted to do this one for so long and people kept asking us to do it. And we were like, yeah, 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 but we don't know how to cook. So we'll have to find like an expert to come in. And I think the confidence to be like, yep, we can do this episode. I feel confident enough now. I've taught myself enough things to be able to do this is a really huge adult thing for me because cooking was honestly my worst skill by a country mile. So to have the confidence to like talk on a cooking episode, that's my adult thing, Stevie.
Congratulations. That is, I'm very proud of you. I've been, my little thing is also food related and also you related. I've put an onion in a glass.
Yes, please.
And I will transfer it today into a pot.
Lovely to have a project and just keep growing that onion. I'm really into it.
So, Tess's baby, how to cook.
I would say both of us are crisp and dip sort of cooks. Yes, we're both not natural cooks. And even right before lockdown happened, so I know this happened in the beginning of March because I had just moved house and five people came round in a very, very casual way. And then I was like, oh, I'll make some dinner. And I had a small cry in the kitchen, and all I was making was pasta with a jar of Lloyd Grossman sauce. And I was so stressed out about doing it wrong that I wasn't doing it. And then I served it and I was like, it's not very good. And everyone was like, no, it's not. But it's also the best thing you've ever made. And then everyone was basically just shouting things that I had made for people in the past, or like things I'd messed up. And then an ex-housemate was reminding me of the time that I tried to make these cookies, burnt the pan so badly that I couldn't even wash it, and so I hid it outside because I thought, oh, they're coming back, I'll just hide this for a second. Obviously forgot about it. Months later they were like, where's my special baking tray? And I was like, oh fuck, it's under the roses out back, completely ruined. Anyway, what I'm doing here is setting the scene of a person who really does not like the kitchen. It is a place of extreme fear. But lockdown has allowed me space to be to get right in.
Get right in. And I'm coming at it from a place of, I very much have always cooked, but I've always, so when I was at uni, also right up until, my God, maybe like 3 years ago, I cooked the same thing pretty much every night because I'd panic and be like, well, I do very much a Hobbsman. No, not Hobbsman. Going anywhere near that oven.
Absolutely.
No. And then,
things go in and they come out totally different.
You can't control that.
You can't control it. You can't see it. I stay with the hob and I never veer away. Okay. We're going to start with two similar basic things. One is that, we're going to be talking about cooking here and not baking. Cooking is like, throw it in. Have you not got an onion? Try this. Like, haven't got any lemongrass? Some lemon zest will do. You haven't got this? Not to worry. Halve those. Whack it in the pan. Baking is like, you do not deviate from this list. It says 67 grams of plain white flour. You need 67 grams of plain white flour.
I've started to see it like Snape's potion classes.
Stevie, that's exactly what it is. And indeed, somebody on Instagram messaged me exactly that to say, it's an art form. It's the Hogwarts Potion Lab. Take it seriously. And also, you may be in like, when you're in fifth year and you're doing your newts and your owls, maybe you're like, okay, what? Maybe I'll try a bit of Wolfsbane with a bit of whatever they're cooking in Potions Lab. But you don't come into your first class and be like, I'm just going to mix some things up here. No, you stick to the goddamn recipe.
You're not a half-blood prince, are you?
No, Stevie, yes. So number one rule is, maybe you're going to become the half-blood prince, but you're not right now. You're in first year. So just do the instructions, listen, read the things. And I don't love baking because I don't love to read the instructions. And I always am like, wang it in. Here's a bit of flour. There's a bit of gravel. A banana, will that do? They're nice. Put that in. It always comes out absolute shit because you've got to follow the instructions. So we're not really going to be talking about baking today. As baking, this is cooking. And the other thing is that everybody is obsessed with exactly that, being the half-blood prince, like putting your own ideas in the margins. All the recipes that were a mistake of like, oh, and then one day I didn't have the right paprika, so I put in this like saffron blend and I invented this whole new thing. We're all obsessed with that vision of us, of, you know, and therefore we become overly experimental in the kitchen when we actually don't know what we're doing. So yes, by all means. I mean, I'm not saying stop experimenting, but like, break the rules when you know the rules, you know, learn to make a good basic thing and then be like, okay, now what can I do? You know, get yourself really confident, really in the routine. Don't walk in there day one and start just throwing things in the pan willy nilly, because it will be a disaster. And then you'll lose confidence and lo, the cycle will continue. So this is a nice tip from somebody. This one is, start practicing by cooking for someone that you love.
Oh God, I'm terrified. I've gone very sweaty even thinking.
Okay. Talk to me about the sweat.
So my sweat glands have activated because I feel like I needed to be confident in a dish, me tasting it. So if I taste it and I'm like, that tastes like shite, it's just me eating it. And then I'll know what to do next time. And then I'd be like, great. So I will probably have made a meal like 3 or 4 times, minimum, that's what I meant to say, before I will be like to my boyfriend, oh, do you want me to make you this?
First note for you, Stevie, is to be like, it's okay. Like, you need to just get in this habit of being like, oh, it was a disaster. No problems. Like, oh, no, don't shake your head. Okay, tell me.
Because when dinner is ruined, that's the worst.
I know. Okay, right. This is my friend Ella's book. It's called Midnight Chicken. It's absolutely fantastic. And in it, she writes at the beginning, if it is a disaster, you can put your coat on over your pajamas, like in The Tiger That Came to Tea, and go down the road to the cafe for sausages and chips. If it is a disaster, like it is okay, then it takes that pressure off you of being like, everything has to be good.
Okay.
Because I understand it 100% of being like, if dinner's ruined, life is ruined.
Okay. I feel slightly better. May I have at least one go by myself before?
I think you should get in the habit of just being like, here it is. This is what I tried today.
Right.
And just be like, it's okay. If I fucked it up. No problem. We'll have something else. Okay. Lots and lots of people said, get a fantastic knife. Get a really, really good knife from a chef's
like
shop.
Like a knife set?
Or
like what's, because there's lots of different types of knives. That's the thing. So like, I remember, like, you know, I now know what a bread knife is after when I lived with my sister and her boyfriend, and her boyfriend's an amazing cook, and I'd just be like chopping an onion with a bread knife and then had a heart attack.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so the serrated blade one, that is the bread knife. You want a basic, I think it's called a butcher's knife.
I've lost confidence, gone into a problem. But what you can do is, I guess, you know the sorts of things that you're going to want to cook. So like, look it up, and or you get like a nice knife set, and then you're covered.
If you've just got one crap knife in your kitchen, or you're cutting things with a table knife or your own hand. Look, or the key, your own car keys. We've all done it with the keys to the house. My house keys for like a year. Someone was like, what's this on the keys? And I was like, I don't know, but I did know when it was an avocado.
Oh my God. So a good set of knives.
And it's unfortunate that obviously we're in lockdown and people can't buy things on the cheap, but like TK Maxx has a fantastic cooking range. Car boot sales, getting things secondhand. People are always a bit, you know, you feel a bit like, oh, I don't want to get cooking stuff secondhand. But actually you can get fantastic pans, dishes, knives, all of that great stuff. You can always get secondhand. They're always at car boot sales. They're always at things like that. And so it's worth like, you know, and then you're like, oh, this was £1 as opposed to like 90 quid. So people recommended a great knife and a great pan and a set of scales. And I think if you've got those three things, then you're ready. Go ahead.
Questions. Please. So I've got a little pan set from John Lewis.
Okay.
And you've got a frying pan in there. You've got a slightly smaller frying pan in there. And you've got varying sizes of saucepans. Now, if you had to buy one pan, how can you boil pasta and also fry your onions?
Okay, sorry. You need one, in your life, you need one saucepan. Nice.
Understood.
And one deep frying pan. If in a total crisis, one of those like wok pans will do you.
I bloody love
a
wok, and that is my dream, but I'd have the cupboard space to even think about it.
A wok, if you've got the space for it. What I've got, and this I would put on your birthday list or a Christmas list, is the Arga deep iron pan, which has a detachable handle.
Isn't that just for Argas?
No, it happens just to be in the Arga cooking range, but it's for anything.
Okay.
So what it means is I do everything in it. I do all my frying, and then you can put it in the oven, detach the handle. Hello. You feel like you're on the homestead in Little House on the Prairie. Carry it from the oven to the table, clip it out again, and now it's a dish on the table, and it's just, you know, mother just whips.
And I feel like I have to say that some people listening will be like, I'm 21 and have more knowledge of cooking than you. And what I want to say here is, yeah, we know, we're very relatable, and that's why you listen to this podcast. So just enjoy it when Tess is getting very excited about her one pan, okay? And if one of the tips are don't cut your avocado with your car keys, enjoy it! Enjoy it!
Also, I was so confident this morning, was like, Stevie, I've really got this under control.
Yeah, you did.
You did. I also have, I was going to say, also on the car boot thing, if you have crap cutlery in your house, you can always get amazing silver plated cutlery is always at car boot sales. And it's always mismatched or charity shops, whatever. And it's like a pound, but then you're like, it feels so nice to have a decent fork, you know?
And also like, you can't just get like, it's not that expensive to just buy like cheap knives and forks. Only the queen will know that it's cheap. Just get like simple stainless steel knives and forks.
No, they're like 30 quid for a set.
Again, no knowledge. Yes. Zero knowledge.
That's the thing, Steve. This is why I say this point, because I was like, who cares? We didn't have any forks. And I was like, how much can a fork be? And then I went to the shop and I was like, are you joking? I'm not paying that.
I made my own out of hand.
So I whittled my own. And so, yeah, even if you go to IKEA, even if the crap is set, they're all like 20, 30 pounds for a nice fork set. And they do feel crap. So I promise you that it's hard to get nice cutlery.
I'm
it's
so hard. Sorry.
No, that's okay. And that's, again, one of those transition things when you first leave home for the first time. You're like, what? I have to buy my own forks.
I think what's happened is I've got forks from like when I was freelancing. I'd go and like go into different offices, shift work. Yeah, and I didn't mean to, but I just came home and be like, oh, I guess
I didn't mean to, but I just stole the good forks.
It's always forks. It's never like a knife, and that's because of the sort of food I was eating. Very much only fork based food.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, next tip.
So now you've got your basic. Now you're completely sorted in the kitchen.
You've got one knife, you've got one pan, and you've got, I think, a fork. That's it.
You've got your fork that you stole. You've got one big knife that I'm describing as a butcher's knife, and everyone at home is reeling, going, oh, "Fucking hell, it's not a butcher's knife, you idiot! That's like a meat cleaver."
Definitely this knife set. We're definitely going with knife set.
You've got a knife set. You've got your big deep frying pan.
But not a deep, and you've got like a fryer.
Not a deep fat fryer. Just like it's deep. It's got steep edges, you know? And like if yours is sort of bashed around and the bottom is wibbly wobbly and it's like got years and years of like burnt stuff on it, like that is going to affect how you cook and therefore what you eat, you know? Like there is a reason, and it'll heat up at a different rate because the bottom is literally at a different angle, and so like the flatter your pan can be, the like more even your cooking.
Okay, great. I've never seen a pan that's got an uneven bottom, and I'm reeling.
You've definitely had a pan in your possession that had a completely uneven. It was just out of shape because I've been cooking for years and years, and the heat has just molded it. Okay, so now we're into the real deal. Okay, number one. Slow down, both in your life and in everything else. Slow the hell down. So I was responsible for just, you know, you chop an onion, you throw it into the pan on the highest possible heat, or you throw it in, then you turn the hob up because you're a hobsman. It gets hot with the thing. It's a flame.
It gets hot with the thing. Okay, no, please, more. Thank you.
Sorry. Okay. The onion is heating up at the same time as your pan.
What?
Rather than your pan getting...
Yeah, I understood. Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
Rather than your pan getting hot, then you put your onion in.
Also, the concept of slow heating, there was a tweet recently that was like, all of you, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was something like, all of you people cooking things for like 40 minutes in the oven on 180, why don't you just cook it for 1 minute on 14,000 degrees? And then it's like, it's that level of like, when you realize, oh yeah, when I put the onions in the pan and with the oil, and I'm like, they're probably done. So much nicer if you actually fucking just cook them. Yeah.
Exactly. So the first time that you ever actually cook an onion, you're like, oh shit. Okay. Because there is a reason that people write these cookbooks. There is a reason that they say these things. You can't just, it's like that, like time we tried to talk about like being late to things. You can't just look at the distance and see that it's a mile and say, I'll get there in a minute. Like you physically can't. So you can't look at, you can't say like, oh, cook your onions for half an hour and you'd be like, a minute will do. It's not the same. So like discovering that like it takes time, that you have to slow down, that therefore, and again, it's like that confidence thing of like, make sure the person on the other end of the meal, even if it's just you, like isn't starving hungry and isn't freaking out. Just be like, I'm cooking now. This is my thing. I'm in the kitchen. Like maybe it's going to be an hour from this point till mealtime, rather than being like, I think I can whack this out in 10 minutes.
That is very difficult. You know? I remember when I was like, when I had an office job and I come in at 7 or something, I'm like, well, I'm hungry now. Like the thought of waiting until 8 o'clock, absolutely not.
That is a big thing, is we cook starving hungry, being like, I want to eat right now. So like, you know, that's when.
So have a snack, and a lovely drink of water, and then cook, so you're not starving.
Get your snacks on the go, get your crisp, get your dip, get your things. The meal is in many ways the pudding to the experience.
Very good, okay.
You don't let yourself get crisis hungry, basically, so you're slowing down. Okay, so your pan is, when it says, so listen, so this is a great one, it's listen, this tip is listen to your pan. All right.
The Marie Kondo thing is saying thanks to your socks or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so listen to your pan. Means like if you want to get to this, like I basically only just recently learned what it means, because I understand now what like a gentle, pleasant, calm, simmering sound sounds like, as opposed to, you know, in like a stir fry place where they would like flambe a wok and then a flame would leap into the ceiling. That was honestly what my cooking was like. But understanding that like a low heat for a long time is going to produce infinitely better, nicer, think results than the flambé experience.
Understood. And look, don't get me wrong, it's a time and a place for a flambé.
It's not in your kitchen. And so onions need to go in there for like half an hour.
What?
Which you're like, yeah. And you're like, I beg your pardon. But honestly, that's how, maybe 15 minutes is the absolute bare minimum.
Obviously, certain recipes require onions to be in there for certain times, right? Like, so there's lots of, because I've got a recipe book that my mum made me that's the best thing I own, which is like all of the recipes from when I was little. So then I can like remake them. And a lot of it is just like cook the onions in pretty much every recipe that she's got in there starts with cook the onions and garlic until they're transparent. And I was like, yeah. Oh, this transparent thing, it's just exactly. A saying. And then you actually go, oh, no, they do go transparent. But it's normally after about, 10 to 15 minutes rather than half an hour.
Well, sure. All right. So we're slowing down. We're actually listening to things. We're actually measuring stuff. We're like, we're saying, okay, we're not just guessing at how much things are. And you can become a free pourer, but it's good to have a little check about roughly how much something is. Because if you free pour and then you're like, yeah, that's probably however 100 mils. If you then actually go and pour out 100 mils, you'll be like, oh gosh, that is, that is a bit.
Get yourself one of those little measuring jugs. They're great. Although the cheap ones, the numbers rub off after about a day and then you can't see anything. So you've got to get a Pyrex one, unfortunately.
That is what holds you back initially from cooking, is that like the good stuff is expensive, but there is a reason like your grandma still has her, you know, her stuff. Like the good stuff lasts and it will see you in good stead for possibly forever, you know? So like get the right stuff. Otherwise it'll be a sad disaster every day. I forgot the scales as part of that initial cooking setup. Getting some good scales and ones that work and that feel nice and easy to use, because otherwise you'll always just be guessing and always just be saying it's probably about a kilo and then throwing it in. Okay. This one is read the whole recipe before you start, like not just the ingredients list, but the entire recipe, because there is nothing worse than being like, oh, I've got all the things. And then you start and it says like the first couple of things are quite simple. And then it'll say, now pop the ham hock in the slow cooker for 4 hours. And you're like, uh-huh. Okay. And then you'll think like, can I just not?
And then you'll be eating raw ham.
Raw ham again for dinner. And so there's nothing worse than being surprised by the recipe halfway through, or knowing that it's completely out of your league, because it starts easy and then you're like, and now you have to make a filigree sugar and you're like, oh, you tricked me with this recipe.
Also, may I add as well, some people, so I've got, I do better with recipes that you can see. So like Instagram cooks. So I save loads of recipes that I want to have a go at in a little, you know, when you save them, I save them to a little collection called like Stevie's Food or something very creative like that. And then it means that when I'm doing like online shopping or something, I'll always have a look through Stevie's Food and be like, what? So it basically means I've got like 10 types of like vinegar in my cupboard that I've never used. But on the other hand, it does mean that when I'm cooking along with it, I like set my little phone up and then I'll just kind of do, and I don't know, seeing hands doing what I'm supposed to be doing is so much better, because often in a recipe you'll be like, oh, just wait until it thickens, you're like, Yeah, but thickens to what? Like, to what consistency?
Like, show me, tell me, don't just expect everybody to know. And that is what, again, puts everyone off cooking, because it says things like, dice this and put it in a bain-marie. And you're like, what does it mean to dice something? What's
Marie?
A bain-marie?
Why is she helping?
This one is just somebody saying, don't put a whole pepper into an open flame and expect positive results. Thank you.
Noted.
Thank you.
I'll note that down.
And also, never assume that just because you want to skip the overnight soaking of the lentils, that the lentils want you to skip the overnight soaking, which I think is so nice. You're like, yeah. Just because you're like, oh, that bit sounds shit. Like, there is a reason they put it in.
That's very important with vegan recipes as well, because I've tried to make, or I have made, quite a few vegan cheeses out of nuts. And good Lord, do you have to follow that soaking? Because if you don't follow the soaking, then you just end up with very hard nuts that are stuck together that you're eating. And it's nothing like cheese. Terrible.
Yeah, dreadful. Just quickly, I've got the answer to what the type of knife is. I was close with butchers, but also in many ways completely wrong. It's actually called a chef's knife.
Okay. I feel like we both could have come to that conclusion.
I can't believe we didn't. I'm absolutely staggered that that's the name. Or a cook's knife. So I asked, my friend got me one of these for my birthday. So I asked her, so it's a chef's knife or a cook's knife. And with one of those, you can do absolutely anything in the kitchen.
Great. So you even need a set.
Okay. Getting into ingredients and seasoning. And you always used to see this in like the back of this, you know, magazines where they'd interview people and they'd say like, are you a good cook? And they'd always say like, I'm not a good cook, but I just use like really fantastic fresh ingredients and hope for the best, which I see now is code for like, I'm actually very rich.
I feel like most skills, you can just be rich to be able to do it. Yeah.
It means like I live in walking distance of a farmer's market and I have a vegetable man who brings me wonderful bits, you know, like, yeah, no shit. You're a good cook. Like, piss off. But I do understand. I'm beginning to understand what that means. And this tip is, if it smells weird before it goes in, it's not going to transform into something good once it's in the oven.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I feel that. I feel that so hard. Yeah. I've done that with many a mushroom. I've been like, mushrooms should not smell like that. Yeah. And then the entire risotto smells like that.
And so that is such a, like, you trick yourself into being like, it'll be fine. If it's not, if you don't smell something and go like, lovely, when you're putting the ingredient in, it's not going to try and make something nice on the other end. Like, you need to be ripping that like fresh basil and being like, oh, fresh basil, rather than like dragging a bit of basil out of the bottom of the fridge and being like, it's like brown. You've got to have nice stuff. Okay, get really great quality salt and pepper. A proper, like, you know, nice cracked black pepper thing that'll just make you feel so fancy and confident. And you want to be putting that in throughout the process, not just at the end. So seasoning needs to be happening constantly. And equally, like, good salt. Like, so you can just have crap, like, salt, that red packet
table
of the
salt,
cheap
table
salt, and use that sort of regularly in everything, but then have for the table the nice, like, molden the sea salt stuff. You don't need to use the expensive stuff throughout. You can use the crap table salt, but then at the end use the flaky stuff.
Yeah, I remember like the sort of year that I was like, oh yeah, I'll season things. That was a real big year for me. Even just like putting salt and pepper on in everything. It was like, oh yeah. Also, salt, the difference between like, I don't know, if I've got some food going on, I'm like, I don't really have any vegetables to go with it. Chopping in a tomato, fine. Chopping a tomato, putting some olive oil on it and some salt, it's a different fruit.
Exactly right. There's any salad thing, if you just put some like raw vegetables into a bowl and throw some olive oil on the top, like, it will be gross. If you individually season everything and take care of each individual ingredient, then you're like, oh, holy shit. And it's a magic art, but it's not an expensive magic art. It's just the difference between putting salt, pepper, bit of lemon. Mm-hmm. Lemon goes in everything. Just whack a lemon on it.
Oh yeah.
You know? Learning to season is like, oh wow, we just went up. We just went up into second year. Oh, hello, Snape. We just smashed out this potions lesson. Oh, am I the half-blood prince? No, but you're getting there. Okay, a restaurant will add 4 times the amount of butter and salt that you deem acceptable at home. So
I read this, and that's why everything tastes so much nicer in a restaurant. You're like,
Yeah. So when it calls for like 300 grams of butter, you're like, yeah. And then you measure it and you're like, sorry, is that a typo? Like, have you put an extra zero on the end there? But then you realize like, that's how much it takes to make something be nice. So throw in your butter liberally if you're someone who eats butter. If not, is there a good vegan alternative for butter?
Yeah, it's just like Flora do a good vegan butter.
Okay, and the last one for the ingredients bit is more garlic than you think.
Oh,
you
preaching to the converted. I actually did I've got a pasta salad recipe that my mum does, which is basically like a mayonnaise-y, lemony, black pepper, garlic sauce, and then pasta and then vegetables in it. It's really nice, but it is raw garlic, so it's very serious. And I was doing it just for me, so I downsized all of the recipes, which is all of the ingredients, which is something that I also, if you're a bit frightened of it sounds so lame, but I'm really bad at math, so I get really upset with myself whenever I have to let's just take that down by a third. I'm like, I don't know what that is. Anyway, so I did it.
It
was very, very proud. Yeah. And also there's lots of conversion things online that you can just do, which is very helpful. But I forgot to take down the garlic. So I'm not joking. It tasted like really hot, spicy, because it was so garlicky. And about 3 days later, I still had garlic coming from my pores. All I could taste was garlic for 3 days. It was horrific. So garlic, raw garlic, sometimes you obviously don't go crazy with it, but oh my God, I absolutely love garlic. It's the best.
Okay. I'm just going to bring us home by just talking about pasta.
Please.
Which has been a staple in both our lives for many years. And I've learned some things. One comes from Nigella and one comes from Gino De Campo. Him of, the guy from... He's on Good Morning with Holly sometimes. And right. He's the one who she said, if this had more cream, it would be like a carbonara. And he says, if my grandmother had the wheels, she would be a bicycle.
Okay, so we like him. He's great.
We love Gino. And he's just been on this. If you're looking for some nice lockdown entertainment, him, Gordon Ramsay, and Fred from First Dates Restaurant have just gone on this trip around America. It is so sweet. I don't like Gordon very much or at all, but it's been a really lovely show. Anyway, so lovely Gino. This is a combined resources pasta. Because what we do is we cook our pasta, put it in the colander, of course, and then cook your sauce separately, then add them together because it looks nice and you make a sort of nice visual, and then your cheese on top and your sort of triangle affair, pasta, sauce, cheese. But what you want to do is boiling water, absolutely boiling water and full of salt in your saucepan. And Nigella says you want it as rough and as salty as the Mediterranean Sea.
Lovely.
So that's how salty you're going for. And you're like, gosh, that's quite salty. Yes, that's salty. And then what you can do, if you are not a vegetarian, put a chicken stock cube into that water. If you are a vegetarian stock cube will do it, but might not have quite the same kick to it, but will still add to the flavor. So put that into the pan. Then you cook your pasta in there for however long it takes. And then rather than putting it, colandering it and throwing away that water, separately at the same time you're making your sauce, you are doing your slow 15 minute cooked onions, you've got your garlic in there, you want, if you've got some chopped tomato, a can of chopped tomatoes in the oven.
Sure. You've got, where I keep them.
Get them out of the oven, they're done. If you've got tins of chopped tomatoes, they're your good friend to always have in the house. If you don't have any, an actual just tomato chopped up and in there on the slow low heat will see you through. Anything else, throw anything else in, keep that there for as long as you can. And then tong out this pasta straight into the sauce.
Okay.
And tonging action, especially if it's spaghetti, makes you feel so professional. You'd be like, sorry, am I a professional Italian chef?
I don't have tongs, so I'd have to could we use maybe two spoons tied together with a hair bubble?
Yes. Or, Stevie, your bare hands into the boiling water will do just fine.
Great.
No. Two spoons with a hair bottle will be fine. A fork will do you just fine. A spoon will do you. The tongs really makes it feel real profesh, but you don't need the tongs. But honestly, I bet they're for sale at the supermarket, you know, for a couple of pounds. You don't need nice, classy, good tongs. Like any old tongs will do you. And they'll really make a difference. Those go straight in, and then a couple of tablespoons, big spoons of your pasta water.
Into the sauce?
Yeah, into the sauce.
Okay.
So now the pasta, the tomatoes, the onions, everything's in the one pan together. And you've got an extra bit of your water, throw that in as well. It's got the vegetarian stock or the chicken stock in there. And now keep it on the heat again, maybe cover it for another couple of minutes. And now give it a chance to really soak in and become, all flavors.
I'm going to do this tonight.
Right? And so it'll transform it from being like, oh, pasta is quite a sad, you know, your Lloyd Grossman jar and your sad pasta and your cheese to sort of cover everything up, it'll transform it into being like, oh, wow. Like this feels like I got it in a restaurant, you know? And then if you cover it, you want lemon, crack black pepper, your fancy salt, bits of Parmesan on the top, and that's a dish.
I mean, what a way to bring us home. That is excellent. And also, probably one of my favourite episodes we've done in ages, because I do like it when we try to do an episode that neither of us actually understands anything.
It has been a while since we've really... Because when this started, I was like, I'm going to smash this. And then, it wasn't soon before I was like, oh no, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
But actually, you know, chef's knife, cook's knife. I don't know if you could just buy one knife for everything.
Pasta water into the sauce. You slow down. You're 15 minutes on your onion. You whack in another garlic. You cook for somebody you love and you calm the shit down in the kitchen, because if it's a disaster, it's a disaster, and you go out for tea.
Oh, what an absolute delight. I mean, if you have any good cooking tips, please do tweet us at Nobody Panic Pod. And if you have any other topics that we don't know anything about that you want us to sort of have a vague go at, then please do let us know. And yeah, I mean, just go forth into that kitchen, and whether you're a Hobsman or an ovens budsman, then just enjoy yourself.
And yeah, and there's just two recommendations of books to get us home. Midnight Chicken is this book I was talking about by Ella Risbridger, and also Diana Henry's From the Oven to the Table.
Also, do follow Jack Munro on all the social media. Excellent, just excellent. Cooking on a bootstrap is their thing. Also, Miguel Barclay does Meals for £1 on Instagram, and really, really good stuff. And also Mob Kitchen, which I absolutely love. They do great like videos that you can follow, really easy to follow stuff. Oh, a lot of like vegetarian stuff, some gluten-free things. Very, very nice. Very nice, nice business. And also follow us for more excellent, excellent, just excellent hot tips. I'm at DVM, the S is a 5.
I'm at Jessica.
And see you next week, guys. Have a lovely week.
Have a wonderful week. I hope you cook something lovely.
Bye.
I believe in you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast, and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.